Welcome to the second episode of Pocket Pulsin', a podcast dedicated to leveraging optimism to make change work no matter what your age or your challenge. On the 10th anniversary of 9/11, so much was covered on the terrorist attack and in remembering the loss of so many lives on that horrific day. Mary Ellen Salamon lost her husband John on that day. Now she prefers to celebrate 9/12 and the remembrance of how the community, the country, and the world came together to care and to serve. Since that attack, in an effort to help her three young children cope with the loss of their father, Mary Ellen has been a 9/11 activist. She's been busy finding ways to give back. She served as president of Families of September 11. She served on the board of the National School Center for Crisis and Bereavement. But she's probably most proud of her work with equine-assisted therapy. Whether it's in fostering horse-human therapy or speaking to schools, she's interested in turning potential victims into empowered survivors. This podcast is sponsored by TerryPaulson.com. But now, sit back and enjoy this interview conducted with Mary Ellen just days before the 10th anniversary of 9/11 on KKZZ 1400 AM radio in Ventura, California. Enjoy. Mary Ellen, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing now with these children.
Okay. Spring Rains of Life is officially called an equine-assisted psychotherapy program. And in easy terms, it's an animal-assisted therapy program. In our case, specifically for the military, active duty soldiers and returning veterans, groups of at-risk youth, and workshops for bereaved children. And the way it works is we invite participants, such as in the military or at-risk youth, to come and work with the horses. And these are specifically people who have coping challenges, bereavement challenges, trauma challenges, and we help them kind of work through their issues and their problems. But rather than that traditional you lay on the couch and tell me how you feel kind of thing, it's a very active program where they work with the horses and try and figure out some problem solving.
Now, how did you get involved?
I was like every other little girl who would go ride horses on the weekends on trail rides, but I was not involved in the horse community. But after 9/11, when my husband died, my children were 6, 4, and 2 at the time. In our community, and generally at that time, there were no established bereavement groups for children under the age of 8. People told me that my kids weren't grieving, they were too small. But indeed, my kids were grieving, their father was just killed. And I had a social worker friend who was working in bereavement therapy with children and said they were starting to do some group work with kids who, you know, had lost parents, and they, in the research they were doing, found that horses were really effective helping these kids. So I got all three of my children involved with horses back then. It was incredibly therapeutic for them, and so much so that my daughter, who was very timid and shy, she kind of like shelled up after 9/11, after her dad died. The only thing that really brought her out were the horses, were working with horses. And over the course of 10 years, I've done a lot of work with children in trauma and children in bereavement, and it's kind of taken me to this point to say, you know, it's time to take everything I've learned in these last 10 years and give it back, using the horses, because I think it really works. Three teenagers in my house.
You may need to spend more time with horses,
I think,
right now.
More time with the horses. You know, I understand the whole premise of 9/11, never forget, and, you know, it's important that we remember what happened so that we can do things to prevent it from happening again. But it's entirely another thing, as a family member, to have 9/11 just persistently present. You know, it's on T-shirts and bumper stickers and magazine covers, book covers, on the internet. It's an instance you could never, ever escape.
It's interesting. I am also a columnist, and my column that I just sent in today for next Monday, and the title of it is Remembering the Days After.
I was back in New York. I wasn't in New York City. I was in upstate New York doing a program for Verizon executives, and I didn't even get to start when we got word that the first plane had hit the tower. And then we canceled, and as we were going out, we saw the second. And what amazed me, being that close to where it was and being obviously grounded as a Californian in Buffalo, New York,
right.
Is the people. In the resolve and the caring. And I don't really have a strong need to go back and think about the terrorism I have much in the towers. I have much more to want to go back and think about how people have made a difference afterwards. And that's why I was so moved by what you have done. I'm sure the love you felt for your children really drove you during the, I mean, it would be your prime focus, and yet at the same time, it was therapeutic for you to go through this with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I tell people all the time, I've done a lot since 9/11, but selfishly, I guess, in a little bit of a way, you know, I did it for my children. You know, it's been my goal that, you know, what my kids went through was awful. And you know what? Continue to struggle every day having to go through, you know, carrying this on their shoulders. And I don't want other people's kids to have to go through this too. So if some of our struggles that we went through can help other people have an easier time, it almost makes having lost my husband in such a horrific way, it gives reason to it and meaning to it, and adds a little bit of positive to something that was just so awful.
Yeah, when you have that kind of a why behind you, it's easier to go through some of the other challenges that you face. How have you found it impact your children directly? You've seen them over this 10 years and certainly impacted by the service that you work with now. How did it most impact them?
9/11 or the...
No, the therapy that you...
The therapy that I do?
Yes.
Well, we have always found that working with horses, being with horses, you know, and I don't want to sound, you know, like some of these more existential kind of people, but there certainly is this human-horse bond that's unique. Animal-assisted therapy is something that works. It's physiologically, it's proven to increase the release of endorphins in your body, to decrease your heart rate, it promotes relaxation, and working with horses does all that too. But working with horses has an added component in that horses are much bigger and much stronger than you are. And developing this relationship and this trust with them is an automatic metaphor for being able to handle something that's so much bigger in your life. And that when the kids first started working with horses, we always used that metaphor. I mean, my little daughter, she was 2 years old, and she's, you know, walking out her horse into the ring. And when we would discuss it, we would always say things like, you know, wow, you're so brave. Look, you're able to handle this horse, and he's so much bigger than you. And then we would use that in life's instances with all my children. And they still kind of feel that way when they go and they spend time with the horses and they work with the horses. You know, it promotes that peace feeling where you could be at a peaceful place. At the same time, you know, you're almost kind of honored to be with the horses, and you're not afraid to share your burden, so to speak, with the horses because they're big and you know that they can handle it. And my kids, I mean, we have a saying in our house that it kind of doesn't matter how we feel before we go to the barn, we always feel better when we come home.
Wow, that's a powerful.
And that's the feeling. And the people who developed these, you know, EGALA is the certifying organization. That's mm-hmm. the model that we follow. And the people that kind of developed this, it started out west by you guys, not here. You know, they kind of took that and took the benefits of psychotherapy and the benefits of working with horses and animals and connected the two to really put together a worthwhile and really successful and beneficial program for people. I am a survivor. I'm absolutely a survivor. When I talk about, you know, I mean, I have to help my kids kind of carry 9/11 with them all the time. And I tell them, you know, you have a choice when something like this happens, and that you could kind of lay down and let it beat you up and win, or you could stand up and you could beat it. And, you know, if we go on through life and angry and full of hate and not doing anything good with our lives, then the terrorists didn't just take their dad, then they really beat us. Our website is www.springreins.org. What the government did after 9/11, they set up the Victim Compensation Fund, and that was a fund for all next of kin of the people that were lost, because they passed laws and legislation right after 9/11, which kind of eliminated your right to sue. So because they took away everybody's right to kind of find a plaintiff to sue if they wanted to. I mean, you didn't even have a choice whether you could or you couldn't. And then the way they compensated for that was to set up this Victim Compensation Fund. So you got money from the government, which would have been kind of synonymous with the money you would have gotten in a low-paying tort suit. So that was the assistance that the government came. And I know FEMA came in and helped people that were displaced by it or, you know, lost where they lived or their jobs and stuff because of it. And not just people who died, but some of the people that worked in the World Trade Center, et cetera. But all that came really long after. For the first year after 9/11, it was pretty much chaos. Which was one of the positive things when Howard and Cantor Fitzgerald kind of stood up to take care of the families from Cantor Fitzgerald, because we weren't getting much from anywhere else at that time. I really wanted to get involved with the military and pull that into the nonprofit was the whole Pat Tillman story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my kids are huge football fans, and when he died, you know, I personally felt like he died for me. You know, he said he signed up in honor of the people who died on 9/11, which we were one of them, and he gave up this amazing lucrative career and died doing so. And when my son first started playing football, he asked for his number. So when Aiden first played football, he wore Pat Tillman's number. So that giving back to the military has kind of been a focal point of our family. And really, there's no way to do that other than like packing boxes at Christmas time of Oreo cookies and magazines. You know, it's really hard to find a way to give back to them. Families and the trauma they come back with. And this program is amazingly effective for the military because seeking out traditional therapy is generally not something that soldiers want to do. You know, they don't want to sit on a couch and talk about how they feel. It's not the nature of who they are. And being able to work in a therapeutic program where stigma is gone, it doesn't feel like therapy, they've had amazing success in the programs out west where they've done that. So that's why we are starting it out east in our program, because we want to be able to give back to the vets out here.
Well, and I think one of the things that you said to your children is something important for our listeners to hear. You did have a choice. That's why victim thinking, I mean, your husband was clearly a victim of a murderous act. But for you to choose to remain a victim and to be passive and feeling powerless would have been another form of victory for them. And you gave them that choice. And just how they have demonstrated that and certainly gotten behind this as well must be tremendously satisfying for you to see how they have been proud survivors, not without struggle, but being powerful in being able to take on some of these challenges.
Yeah, you know what, Mike, I am very proud of them. You know, the kids, and they've watched me be very active for the last 10 years and have really, I don't have to push them. I mean, they've really chosen to work along with me. And they're very active in the equine assisted program. They love coming out. They're peer support people for the bereavement group. So they could talk to the kids who've just lost a parent and talk about their experiences to them, you know, kind of like I was at your point one time and look at me, I've made it, you can make it too. So,
boy, there's nothing like bringing that strength home than trying to help somebody else in the midst of that.
Yeah, to share their struggle and turn it into a positive.
Yep.
These programs really are all over. I was pretty surprised. You know, I didn't start out in this work. I actually moved one of my horses to one of my daughter's retired ponies to a barn where the woman who had started this, Christiana, was working. and then I helped her form her nonprofit. But they are all over the country, and actually there's more of them out west than there are in the east. www.egala.org. On that website, they'll list all the different equine-assisted therapy places, and there's a chance that you could find one, you know, in the vicinity or within an hour or so drive. I mean, we're in Hunterdon County in New Jersey, which is a good hour drive from New York City, because there's no horses in New York City either. So in L.A., I can't say for certain, but I would imagine that there are programs that are out there.
I'm pretty sure there would be, because there are quite a few horse communities that are interspersed throughout this.
And I do know that out in the real West, you know, in Montana, they have some of these programs, which are residential programs, where you could go and spend, you know, a week or 2 weeks. Most of the rehab facilities out there, actually, that's where Equine Assisted started, in these drug rehab facilities. Finding that having people work with the horses really sped up their recovery. And that is kind of where this all grew from.
Yeah, and that's my experience as well, is that there are residential places you can send somebody for an experience. It doesn't require that you have a horse. I mean, it certainly has been of help to you.
Well,
in this.
Right. With me, I mean, it's been a help because we have the horses. But our program, like we have five horses in our program that are not mine. that we use just for our equine-assisted program.
You mentioned the strength of a horse is one of the qualities. You know them well. What are some of the qualities of horses that you've come to appreciate that help in making this so
Well, you know,
so
horses
important.
Have personalities just like people do. So the horses that we choose for this therapy work are very people-friendly horses. I would say the majority of horses that I've met in my lifetime have been smart, although I've met some that have not been so smart. We select the horses that we use for this. The horses that are usually used in the equine-assisted therapy work are horses that have worked with people their whole lives and are now older. So they're no longer in the show ring or, you know, doing what they had done with people before, and they're kind of retired but very used to being with people. They're people horses. You know, 9/11 was horrific, and certainly an act of hate and an act of terrorism, which I see as just a global monstrosity. You know, hopefully someday somebody is going to find the answer to addressing that. But, you know, I would urge people, when they think of 9/11, to think of 9/12 at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to classes and students about 9/11 and my experiences in 9/11. And, you know, I say to them that on 9/11, the attacks on 9/11 really brought America to its knees. Transportation shut down. We didn't know what was happening. Nobody knew if a war was going to start the next day. But on 9/12, America stood up. And it wasn't the government or the military, but Americans. I mean, there was more of a spirit of unity and kindness and people demonstrating what it was to be the best of being an American. And, you know, my husband died on 9/11 and on 9/12 and 9/13, and I saw the flags go up and people helping each other and, you know, lines to give blood. Nobody could do enough. You know, I was more proud to be an American then, even though my husband died because he was an American, than I've ever been in my whole life.
I thank you for saying that. That is exactly my feelings, why I wrote this column that I did. I'll have to send it to you because it's exactly, it is so close to what I said. It's unbelievable. Because when I was in Buffalo, I watched the lines, blood lines that they wouldn't be able to use because there was no one to give it to. I went out on a run and I fly a flag. You're proud of me, coach. I fly a flag at home and I was trapped in Buffalo. I decided I needed a flag. Well, I was out running. I buy this huge flag and all of a sudden realized I don't have a car to take it back, so I'm carrying this flag, and everybody in Buffalo is honking and going, way to go, you know, and rolling down their windows. And I ran faster that day than I probably killed myself getting back to the hotel. But there was a group of Navy World War II veterans who were there that were stranded after the reunion, and a high school teenagers that were a choral group, and you wouldn't expect any of them to talk to each other, but on that day
everybody did.
They talked to each other, and it was this, that sense of unity is something that was beautiful, and I hate the cost so many had to pay, but what I'm I'm proud of is you turned what could have been a disaster for your family into something that is making a difference to this day. I want to make sure I get something. There is a Reins of Hope -ohi.org that is out in our area. For those of you who are interested in seeing a little bit about possibly a similar programs out here, it's Reins, R-E-I-N-S, of Hope, -ohi.org. And, of course, we've been talking to Mary Ellen Salamone, who has her own website, and we want to make sure that we give that as well.
Spring Reins of Life. Spring, but Reins are spelled R-E-I-N-S.
Yes, yeah, SpringReinsOfLife.org. And I just think the ripple effect, and maybe we're even at a time right now where our country needs that again.
I totally agree. I'm speaking to my son's high school on Monday, and that is exactly the message. You know, we're kind of getting back to that, and you know, we're not spilling the blood of innocent people in order to get to that, but our country is still definitely at a spot where it's in the need of that unity again. The day after, I had mentioned to a couple people in town that I was collecting clothes for the rescue workers that went to go work there because they needed changes of clothes for them. And, you know, within 12 hours, I had enough clothes at my house to clothe a small country. I think I clothed all the rescue workers there with just the donations that came from everybody.
What a great story of the fact that it is community that makes this country what it is.
It was community. I mean, the government, you know, and I'm not bashing the government. I'm just
No,
saying,
it just can never match what people can do.
It was what people did. It's what Americans did that made this country great on September 12th. You know, that's what the world noticed. That's what the world joined in on. It was the American spirit of, you know, you're not going to beat us, and we're going to help each other through this.
It is SpringReinsOfLife.org, and Reins is R-E-I-N-S.
Right.
And what a tribute, and what a difference it's continuing to make in young lives of people who have had loss and had to face it and come away not victims but survivors, actually
survivors.
People that thrive from that. And we just thank you for turning a tragedy into something that has made a strong difference not only for you and your family but for many, many others. So
yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I sure hope you enjoyed this episode of Pocket Paulson. Make sure you sign up for this podcast series. For more information on my programs and resources, visit www.terrypaulson.com. Until next time, this is Dr. Terry Paulson signing off for Pocket Paulson.